WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A massive mobile free medical clinic returns to Harrisonburg. The Omni Charlottesville Hotel sues the city over its tax bill. And do political endorsements, such as the one that Terry McAuliffe got from Governor Northam last week, really make a difference with voters? This is the WMRA Daily from Monday, April 12th. The number of Johnson & Johnson doses of the COVID-19 vaccines heading to Virginia this week will drop significantly. The Virginian Pilot reports that state health officials initially expected 125,000 doses from the maker this week, but that has dropped to about 15,000. The shortage can be traced to a factory mix-up that ruined about 15 million doses of the J&J vaccine. But officials say Virginia should stay on track with its vaccination goals. Data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show Virginia anticipates receiving a combined 400,000 doses of both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines this week. Health districts in the Shenandoah Valley have moved into phase two of vaccine distributions. That means all people 16 and older may sign up to get one of the vaccines. Remote Area Medical, or RAM, is a Tennessee-based organization that runs pop-up clinics across the U.S. where people can get free health care, including dental and vision services. This weekend, RAM made its second appearance in Harrisonburg. WMRE's Randy B. Hagee reports.
So you're waiting to see the doctor now. That's right.
Yeah. Over the weekend, hundreds of people got their teeth pulled, glasses made, blood sugar checked, and myriad other healthcare services at the Rockingham County Fairgrounds, all for free. RAM, a nonprofit, runs these clinics all over the country to meet the needs of underserved, uninsured, and underinsured people who can't afford to see a doctor. Lucretia Sims of Harrisonburg came with the hopes of getting dentures made so she could actually chew her food.
They're working on my teeth now. They're making them now. I'm just glad to be getting my dentures.
By the time she arrived at 6:30 a.m., there were already cars starting to fill up the parking lot. Some of them had gotten there the night before because the clinic runs on a first-come, first-served basis. At 6 a.m., the clinic doors opened and people lined up to get their temperatures checked and register for services. In previous years, they would have waited inside the cavernous exhibit hall until it was their turn to see a doctor, dentist, or optometrist. This year, due to COVID-19, folks waited in their cars until summoned via text message.
People are really interested in dental services and vision services particularly. We're grateful to be able to provide COVID vaccines as well, so that's pretty popular. A lot of the services that aren't covered by something like Medicare.
Laura Troll teaches social work at James Madison University. She's also a community host group leader.
The community host group is the local folks who come together to raise money and secure all the local providers and logistics for a RAM clinic to come to their community.
Inside the exhibit hall, patients were triaged by volunteers who directed them towards the services they needed. The dental clinic was set up in this building too. Rows of clear plastic tents each contained a dentist chair and tools, the local dentists all volunteering their time, and patients getting their teeth cleaned, filled, or extracted. Giant tubular air ducts snaked over the floor, providing ventilation to each tent. Anu Ahuja drove all the way from Rockville, Maryland to get a tooth infection looked at.
I came here, but not sure if they're going to do dental work because my blood pressure was high, so I got medical looked at, and they did a diabetes check, and I got a free meter, which is really great. And I learned about how to manage my blood pressure, and then I'm getting vision done. I don't have health insurance. That was one of the main reasons I came here.
On the other side of the fairgrounds, volunteer Rebecca Wood worked in the mobile glasses lab, fitting lenses into frames for the prescriptions that providers had issued earlier that day. She began volunteering with RAM when she lived in Charlottesville, but has since moved to Boston and made the trip to Harrisonburg to pitch in this weekend. She started volunteering after going through her own medical nightmare, a jaw infection.
I ended up having that all of my teeth pulled and parts of my jaw scraped away and the infection drained, and it was pretty awful. But after I healed from that, I thought even as bad as it was, I was able to go somewhere in the midnight hour. Like, what do people do when they don't even have that? And so in order to give my losses purpose and meaning, I started volunteering here.
Like Antonio Flamenco Flores of Harrisonburg came to get reading glasses. He got to the clinic at 5:45 a.m. after finishing his shift at Marshall's. He just got hired there and doesn't have insurance yet.
Yeah, it's really great that it helps the community, and I really appreciate that.
Nearby, Corps volunteer Dave Maurer oversaw the vision clinic.
I'm very much a believer of trying to give back. I've been blessed with a wonderful job and a wonderful career, and I'm at a point in my life where I can take time to use my vacation to travel to RAM clinics and volunteer my time and give some of my skill and some of my ability back.
Maurer travels to volunteer at 15 to 20 RAM clinics a year. The rest of the time, he lives just outside of Chicago, where he works as a nurse at a county jail.
We're always needing volunteers, and we're always needing donations. So I would encourage any listener who's interested or wants to learn more to go to our website at ramusa.org. That's ramusa.org. There you can find a full listing of all our clinics throughout the United States and also ways that you can become involved and make a difference. Now, the cool thing about remote area medical is you don't need training. If you come here, we will train you to do a variety of different skill sets, whether it's learning how to make glasses or helping people with dental problems or getting people moved and registered.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Learn more about RAM at WMRA.org or on the app. A Charlottesville hotel is suing the city for allegedly overcharging it nearly $100,000 in taxes. The Omni Charlottesville Hotel claims the city wrongly assessed the property at more than $46 million for the 2020 tax year when its fair market value was about $36.7 million. The Daily Progress reports that Charlottesville City Council last week unanimously voted to allow the city attorney's office to retain outside counsel to assist with the case. The hotel sued the city in Charlottesville Circuit Court. The seven-story, 205-room hotel near the downtown mall has been open since 1985. On Saturday, the University of Virginia dedicated a memorial to enslaved workers who built the school. The unveiling had been delayed for a year due to the pandemic. The Memorial to Enslaved Laborers commemorates more than 4,000 enslaved and free laborers who built and worked at the university. A conservative group is suing Virginia Tech, claiming that the university's policies stifle right-wing speech. The action comes a week after the university condemned a student club's leaked group chats described as, quote, homophobic, racist, ableist, and misogynistic. Whitney Evans with VPM reports.
The Washington, D.C.-based organization Speech First, Inc. filed a lawsuit on behalf of three politically conservative Virginia Tech students. They say they fear their viewpoints violate university policy because they may be considered, quote, biased and harassing. They claim the university's definition of bias-related incident is amorphous and subjective. The definition includes discrimination based on age, gender, and disability. The lawsuit says Virginia Tech's policies restrain and suppress speech about the political issues of the day. It asks the court to bar the school from punishing students for bias-related incidents and enforcing the discriminatory harassment policy.
Whitney Evans reporting, officials at Virginia Tech said that as of late last week, they had not yet received that lawsuit. This week, Virginia Tech will commemorate the 32 students and faculty who died in the mass shooting there on April 16, 2007. The university will host events virtually due to the pandemic. The ceremonial candle at the on-campus memorial will burn for 24 hours, and a 3.2-mile run of remembrance will take place from April 16th to 18th, also as a virtual event. A digital exhibit will launch today. It will feature messages of hope and love sent to the university in the aftermath of the shooting. Finally today, as the spring campaign season heads into the final stretch, candidates are rolling out endorsements. But what, if any, weight do those endorsements actually carry? Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
From the primary for governor all the way down to your local city council race, candidates across Virginia want you to know who is supporting them. The endorsements game is now in full swing with dozens of new endorsements every day. Democratic strategist Ben Tribbett says candidates often keep the ace card in their back pocket for the right moment.
You want to hold it for a time in the campaign when you're going to get maximum attention. And in a state-level race like this, you usually want to hold endorsements until the spring at the earliest, because people just don't tune into this until they get much closer to the primary. And so you're starting to see now, for the Virginia primaries coming up, people really starting to push these endorsements out there.
Former Republican delegate David Ramadan, now at George Mason's Schar School, says these endorsements are often just a sugar buzz.
That is a short-term face value that expires within minutes in today's world. However, there are also long-term value to some endorsements, especially those that become actionable.
If the endorsement is just an email, the value is limited. But he says if the person making the endorsement shows up at events and becomes an ambassador for the candidate, the endorsement will have much more lasting value. Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Monday.